supposed to.
They are.
Let's open with hymn number 16. Unto the Lord.
And Thou forgavest iniquity.
sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Graciously keep us steadfast in this knowledge unto death, that we may obtain eternal life. Send us now and ever pious pastors who faithfully preach thy word without offense or false doctrine, and grant them long life. Defend us from all false teachings, and frustrate thou the counsels of all such as pervert thy word, who come to us in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravening wolves. That thy true church may evermore be established among us, and be defended and preserved from such false teachers, through Jesus Christ thy Son, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this eighth Sunday after Trinity is found in the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, the 16th through the 29th verse. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not cease until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places, and I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets, that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle for this day is found in the 8th chapter of Romans, the 12th through the 17th verse. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Here ends the epistle. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Hallelujah. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, the 15th through the 23rd verse. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns, or figs from thistles? Even so, Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 526. mercy and peace in God our Father and in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is found in the second chapter of Jeremiah, the 4th through the 17th verse. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The rulers also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that did not profit. Wherefore, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Cyprus and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Have a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled? The young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Also the children of Noph and Tahapanes have broken the crown of thy head. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, and that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, when he led thee by the way? Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Let us heed thy word and know that it is in truth our salvation and our only way unto eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, clever, rational people are supposed to be sane enough to know the difference between proven facts and the silly fancies of their imagination. What goes on in a person's head does not change reality. Jesus asked, which of you by worrying can add a cubit to your height? Thinking about something does not make it so. Wishing upon a star does not mean that your dreams will come true. The pagan nations believed that there were many gods responsible for the way that the universe operated. And they believed this in ignorance. But even in ignorance, they followed certain common sense rules. You don't abandon the gods which have served so well to explain your word, and on a whim invent new gods which explain nothing and offer you no help. Much less would you do this just because somebody else told you to. But when it comes to the worship of the true God, people listen to such false prophets all the time, and in their hearts change the nature of the God whom they worship, thinking to mold reality to their will, until finally he is not the true God at all, but merely an imagination. They believe these false prophets because their words are pretty and appealing. They offer so many wonderful promises, but those promises are mere wishes, and their promises are poison in the end. For they steal the faith which actually brings the result of salvation from sin and death. and they replace it with something that cannot help, with self-confidence and selfishness. And that is the fruit of false prophecy, and the fruit is poisoned. When we read about the history of the children of Israel when they were brought out of the land of Egypt, we're astounded by the miracles which God worked in those days. Those grand manifestations of God's power were without equal since the time of the creation. None of the gods of Egypt ever showed themselves capable of doing anything more than nature itself does. You could attribute the seasons, the sun, stars, and planets, the flooding of the Nile, and the fertility of the land to the gods if you wished, but all of these things were merely natural. There was nothing miraculous or supernatural about them. The God of Israel refused to coexist with idols, particularly since He alone is the creator and source of all that takes place within the creation. All the workings of nature and the universe are things which He designed and maintains. To attribute them to other gods was not only idolatrous, but blasphemous, because it stole glory from the true God and gave it to figments of men's imagination, or even worse, attributed what God has done to the fallen angels who often posed as gods to the ancient peoples. With the 12 plagues, the miraculous delivery from Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the pillar of cloud and fire, God revealed Himself as the true God of nature and of the universe, the only true God, the one who, whenever He chose, could save or condemn, rescue or destroy. No one could rationally attribute the workings of nature to the phantom gods of their minds. Once the true God had revealed Himself in such a tremendous way as He had done to Israel. Next to these miracles of God, the most astounding thing about the Exodus is how the very same children of Israel who were eyewitnesses to God's glory and mercy could listen to the false prophets who arose within their camp to set up two golden idols and declare, "These are the gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt." And the people seized upon these false prophesying like ravenous dogs seize upon a piece of raw meat. From the very first, the Israelites set up a pattern of the deliverance of God, followed by rebellion and rejection of His mercy. They abandoned the grace of God, who mercifully saved His people, for vain false gods, who did nothing for them at any time. Our text today came from a time centuries later. But the same pattern had played itself out yet again. Jeremiah was a prophet whom God had sent to warn Israel of the judgment which was quickly to come upon them when Jerusalem was finally besieged by Nebuchadnezzar and her people taken captive. But as it had been for all the prophets before him, who warned of the wrath of God to come, Jeremiah was ignored, and Israel plunged headlong into their fleshly idolatry and destruction. And therefore the Lord declares through His prophet, "Behold, none of the nations of the earth are so foolish to abandon their old gods for new gods who are powerless to help them. But you, Israel, do exactly this. When the Lord showed Himself by infallible proofs to be the only true God, the God with the power to save His people, to rescue them from oppression, to deliver them from sin and death and offer endless life, it is then that you abandon Him for other gods. Go search the world. Show me any of the heathen nations who have done such a thing. It is unheard of." Imagine it. When Jeremiah is prophesying, Jerusalem had already been sieged. Their king was taken captive and killed. Their armies were destroyed, and a puppet king, his brother, was put into his place. Yes, the throne of Judah was still being filled by a son of the tribe of Judah, but he was an appointment of the Chaldean king. It was clear who was in charge. Yet this was just the warning shot. And as so often happens, God does not bring instant judgment upon men. He brings it in stages so that they have the opportunity to repent. But as Jeremiah prophesies, the people have not responded to the judgment of God with repentance. Instead, they continued to listen to the false prophets, to their wicked rulers who promoted the worship of Baal, and to their own fleshly desires. They were in dire straits because things could only get worse. But none of them, even so, stops to ask, "Where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits and drought and the shadow of death, through which no man passed through or lived in?" No, instead they turn to the gods who never delivered anyone. They turn to the very same Baal whose priests the prophet Elijah had humiliated in that great showdown, which proved that Baal was the figment of men's imagination, but that the Lord was a God of power and might. Their fathers were smart enough at that time to declare, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." But their children, not so smart. Jesus said that we should judge prophets by their fruits. The fruit of the prophets of the Lord are deliverance, life, and salvation. For every true prophet preaches Christ Jesus, even as Jeremiah did, and the fullness of his salvation. The fruit of the false prophets of Baal, who fill the pulpits of the vast majority of Christian congregations all over the world, are unrepentance, false righteousness, which then leads to despair and death. Jeremiah told Israel to judge the gods by their fruits. Which of them has ever saved you? Jesus instructs his disciples to do the same thing. Would that people would be wise and listen. Judge the prophets by their fruits. Oh, but when men hear this command, they immediately assume that God wants them to judge a prophet by human standards of success and good works. And my, what pretty poisoned apples they are. Yes, poisoned apples. That is the problem with judging a prophet by such things as how many pious good works he can produce in his congregation, or how many people he can stuff his pews with, or how many programs he runs to feed the poor. These are certainly attractive reasons to listen to a prophet, but they are not the true fruits of his preaching. The priests of Baal could point to all sorts of external proofs why Baal was a good god to follow, and the Lord was inferior. First among them is that Baal worshippers had fun. Nobody had to convince people to worship Baal. All they had to do was point out that you can indulge all of your fleshly desires with no fear or guilt. The Lord didn't offer those benefits. He told you that the desires of your heart are evil. Are these the fruits which Israel were to consider when judging a prophet to be false? No, that's like judging a poisoned apple by its flavor and texture and pretty skin. But the result of Baal worship was death and eternal damnation. The fruit was poisoned. And therefore Jeremiah declares, what has Baal ever done to keep back the Chaldean hordes even? In fact, when has he ever helped you when you needed help? In all their history, it was only ever the Lord who proved to be a God of deliverance. And so, my friends, do not be deceived. Do not judge today's current crop of prophets by the false standards of the external works which they produce, nor by how many people they have in their pews, nor by how well they can preach, nor by how much money they make, or how many outreach programs they run. Because these are not the fruits which God has called upon you to judge. God has called you to judge the result of their preaching, a result that is not measured in works. Do they preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ? Because that is the word which God has placed in the mouth of his prophets to speak. When he has done so, they are to speak his word faithfully. But if not, then the fruit of their preaching however pleasant it is to hear, is death, and it is destruction. Joel Osteen and Rick Warren are mighty fine preachers, for sure. There are thousands upon thousands like them. But they do not preach repentance and the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And therefore they are not preaching the God who delivers. They're preaching Baal. And therefore the fruits of these prophets is death for all who follow their words, because they have abandoned the fountain of living water and built new cisterns that are broken and cannot hold anything. When all is said and done, their words do not work repentance. They do not comfort with the gospel of Jesus Christ, who was crucified for our offenses and raised again for our justification. When we think back now in this day upon our history as the people whom God has delivered, when we look back to our fathers, there is another miracle which has obscured all that God did for our Israelite fathers in the day he brought them out of Egypt. Its greatness has made that deliverance seem small. For now, when we look back, we see Jesus. We see one greater than Moses and Elijah, greater than Jeremiah. We see the Lord God in human flesh, who brought an end to death itself by taking all the sins of man upon himself and satisfying God's justice perfectly by his own life and death. And thereby he delivered not just a few million from oppression in a foreign nation, but many billions who were enslaved by sin and condemned to eternal death. There is no other God before or since who has so delivered his people. The fruit of the prophet must always be, who has this preaching delivered from death? And not, how many pretty works has he done in life before he's been judged? The answer should be plain. And lest anyone be confused by Jesus' words when he tells us to judge prophets by their fruits, he is quite clear that we are not to judge them by their bare external works, but rather by the finished work of Jesus Christ. He explicitly declares that many would come to him on the last day, trying to offer up all the works which they performed as the evidence of their faithfulness as prophets. Lord, Lord, have we not done all these wonderful things for you? Have we not cast out devils? And have we not prophesied in your name? But Jesus casts all these works aside and declares, I never knew you. Depart from me. You are workers of iniquity. It was not the will of the Father in heaven that people merely prophesied in Jesus' name and did wonderful works in his name. What did all this matter when they did not preach the fruits of repentance and faith, without which none could be saved? All the fruits that they offered were pretty poisoned apples. Away with this poisoned fruit. The fruit of our God is never poisoned. His fruit is righteousness, peace, hope, and love. He ends the fear of death. Where is the God who has so delivered his people? He is here among us today, alive, still declaring his word of forgiveness and life. He is Jesus Christ, our dear Redeemer. And he bids you to come and confess your sins unto him, for he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. May the Lord Jesus ever be with you and continue to work in you the fruits of repentance, faith, and eternal life. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, receive these gifts which we offer unto thee in the name and for the work of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, who by thy Son didst create all things that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, giving him authority over all, we thank thee that through him we have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we may know thee as our Father. Call upon thee in prayer, and be assured that we will be heard as thy children. Grant unto thy church ministers and teachers who are counseled and led by thy Spirit, and who earnestly hold forth the word of life. Diligently gather thy children and teach them all things whatsoever our Lord has commanded. From all false prophets save them, that they, being knit together in love, may stand fast in one spirit and with one mind strive together for the faith of the gospel. Declare thy glory, O Father, among all nations, and send forth thy messengers to open the eyes of the unbelieving, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto Christ, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance with the children of God. Look with favor upon our own land, that true liberty, perfect justice, and pure morality may prevail in every estate of our society, and that all ungodliness and wicked works may be destroyed. Father, let thy Spirit descend upon our homes. Let the word of Christ in all wisdom dwell richly in the children, and grant that all parents may be worthy examples of true Christian virtues. Shelter them in every storm, and preserve them from all evil. And as thou, dear Father, didst send thy Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, preserve us blameless in the midst of a perverse world, so that we may attain the crown of life. To this end, grant that we may be filled with the knowledge of thy will, be fruitful in every good work, and be strengthened in the patience of faith. Help us to mortify the deeds of the flesh, and to walk in the Spirit, ever setting our affection on the things above. O Father, from whom all good counsels and all just works do proceed, give unto thy children who may be enduring pain, sickness, disease, anguish, or any other adversity of body or soul, a firm assurance of thy love and mercy, that they may commit themselves wholly unto thy care, and receive from thee all things needful for their salvation. Especially do we lift up unto thee our dear sister, who is suffering afflictions of body and weakness in the congregation in Hovland. Be with her, O dear Savior, and give her the firm assurance of thy love and mercy, and if it be thy will, restore her unto health, that she may yet walk among the living and praise thy name. Now, Heavenly Father, as thou hast bidden us by thy word to let our prayers be made known with thanksgiving in prayer and supplication unto thee, we come to thee in loving gratitude and trust, offering these petitions in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. We sing hymn number 228. with you. Lift up your hearts. Unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Into the flesh. We thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Sing hymn number 261. Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Wow.